faith is the substance of things hoped for. Pistis is the word. And I mix today what I do a couple of times a year, that which I've been known to call spiritual hash. Some basic principles in a continuing series of basic Christianity. Now, pistis, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, but I won't stay there long. Now, pistis, action based on belief, sustained by confidence, that when God says something, He will do it. Because forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. This is the message I came bringing to Faith Center 18 years ago. This is the message we now come bringing to the world. Faith, pistis, not just belief. The Greek word is action based on belief, sustained by confidence, that when God says something, He will hasten His word to perform it. Such combination, action based on belief sustained by confidence in God's Word, is the hypostasis, substance. I pointed out to you before that in the mid-1800s, the archaeologists dug up a box that had a letter from a woman defending her claim of ownership of property, and she said in her letter written in the Koine colloquial Greek of the day, enclosed herein in this box you will find my title deed that shows my right of ownership in the property. The word is hypostasis. Faith, action based on belief sustained with confidence that God's word will be carried forward by God, is the title deed of things hoped for. The evidence, the King James says, of things not seen. The Greek is pragmaton. We get pragmatic or pragmatized from the word, is to work out to be seen by experience that which is not seen. So this action of anyone based upon belief sustained by confidence that God will hasten His word to perform it is the title deed of things hoped for, the working out to be seen and experienced of things not seen. For by it, that is this pistis action, hanging on to God's word, the elders obtained a good report. Now, I don't know who you want to have a good report in front of. I just named some barking dogs earlier. The most important audience before which you better have a good report, and I long to have a good report, is the God of heaven and the God of all things, who will hasten His word to perform it, and He scans this earth looking for those like the elders who gained a good report because they acted on His word with confidence that He would be faithful, and thus they obtained the title deed, or by that very action made things hoped for their possession and evidenced for the world to see that which was not seen prior to their evidencing it. It was just a word from God. They evidenced it. They concretionized it. They brought it into reality in the seen world by their behavior. And then I want to jump quickly to Abraham. Eighth verse. Hebrews 11:1 is where I was. Now, eighth verse. By faith, pistai, same word. By acting based upon belief, sustained by confidence that God, when he said something, would do it. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. All he needed was the call to leave the comfort and the civilization of Ur. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Joined with Sarah, the 11th verse. Therefore sprang there even of one, verse 12, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. I got news for any of my enemies. As I seek the Lord this month before my 65th birthday, when those who see as the world sees are thinking retirement, I got news for my enemies. These are my examples. Abraham, therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. I ain't even as good as dead yet. And the same faith makes me look on the coming year as a beginning. The only thing I really take comfort in is some of my oldest enemies will retire. But I'm going on. I ain't even as one as dead yet. Verse 13, these all died in faith, pistis. Pistin is the form of it. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. The Greek is they seek a patrida, a fatherland. And truly, if they had been mindful of that, how many have the word country in the 15th verse in italics? Let me see your hands. Add it with the translators. Because the 14th verse says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, the Greek word being patrida, a fatherland. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that, not country, strike out that word country in the 15th verse, because they never ever had a fatherland. Only God can give us that. And truly, the 15th verse says, if they had been mindful of that from whence they came out, they didn't come out of a fatherland. There is only one fatherland. The one God gives us. But if those that declare plainly by their faith action that they seek a patrida, fatherland, and truly if they'd been mindful of that from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Boy, I wish I could preach on that verse today. Because I have been exposed in the last few months of those that have had the time to be mindful of that from whence they came out, and they've had an opportunity to return. That's why I don't want to look back. I want to go forward. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly one. Literally now, they aspire to a better, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That's why I keep telling you as a congregation, this is not my message today, this is introduction. but with all the rather obtuse manner in which the King James translates the original, the message is rather clear. They hung their body in action based upon belief sustained by confidence that when God said something, it was more real than anything else in their circumstance, and that became their title deed for things hoped for, and their life in pursuing that promise of God evidenced or worked out for the world to see things that were not seen. They desired a fatherland. They recognized and accepted their calling, as the Ephesian letter says, that they were called for His sake, for His use, before the worlds were formed, to a destiny that was His destiny for them, and nothing else would suffice. They were therefore strangers and pilgrims down here. Their life's meat was to pursue that which God had declared and promised. They wouldn't even pause to look back. Thus, they didn't even have the temptation or opportunity to return. Therefore, that action of always going onward made them of those that God could say they gained a good report, and God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. That's why this shepherd will not let this church settle on its lease, look back, and no longer take the challenge of going forward. I'm trying to keep you from dying, returning, and losing your eternal soul, and missing the city that God has prepared for us. Nobody's saying it's an easy journey. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, even God tempted him in this context, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him as a figure. And having opened the subject of Abraham, and opened the subject that we must keep moving forward, and that the path through which we move in faith has testing and temptation in it, I take you now to Romans 4. Quickly. And I'm going to jump around a lot today. A lot of text, one message. What shall we say then that Abraham... First verse, fourth chapter, Romans. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed, a peace to saying, you've listened to me and watched me write on the blackboard these Greek words often enough, you know that that little letter E in front puts it in the past tense. It's still the same word, peace to send. A derivative of peace teo, peace to saying, putting it in the past tense. Abraham faved, in other words. What saith the Scripture? Abraham faith. He acted on the belief sustained by the confidence that when God says something, He'll do it. And that action, it was counted unto him for righteousness. And there you have that word, dikaiosynein. God's own righteousness given to him on the face of this earth to be seen in time. Given as God's gift because of his faith activity, acting on the belief sustained by the confidence that when God says something, that's more real than anything else in your circumstance. That faith was tested. Verse 19. Well, let's go to the 18th verse, same chapter. Who against hope believed in hope, against hope that focused on circumstance, believed in hope based on God's Word. Back to the first verse of Hebrews 11, don't turn there, just to reference it. Now faith is the title deed of things hoped for. Against hope, when looking at it on the basis of the natural, faith in hope, a piece to saying, faith in hope, title deed held in hand, the action of life focused on God's Word, believing and having confidence that God will hasten it to perform it. He hangs on to that, and that gives him the title deed, the hope based on God's Word, defying the lack of hope that circumstance puts in your face. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, really, the tense of the verb should read, and not weakening in faith, pistai, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. My Lord, I got 35 years to go. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not. I briefly referenced this on festival. I want to bring it to this platform today. He staggered not at the promise of God. Write in your margin the better translation. But he did not decide. Diakrithē. In place of staggered, circle that word and draw a line to the margin and write the Greek word diakrithē. D-I-E-K-R-I-T-H. Long E, double E. Diakrithē. He did not decide. Against the promise of God. By apistia. Let me do that slowly. He did not decide against the promise of God by apistia. And you know, you've seen me write it many times on the board. In the Greek, you put the letter A in front of the word and it reverses it. We do that. Gnosis is language. Agnostic is don't know anything. Pistis is faith. Apistis is against faith, reverse. Write out this word, this verse translated properly. But he did not decide against the promise of God by apistia, but King James has the strong in faith, let me give you the literal. But in dunamothe was empowered. In a dunamothe, E-N-E-D-U-N-A-M-O-T-H-E-E, in a dunamothe, by faith, pistai. Now, having broken it down, let's go over it again and again till I can dent it in. But against, he did not decide against the promise of God by disfaith, but was empowered in a dunamothe by faith. That's your choice. You who want to live the life of faith and receive a good report of God. You that would like God not to be ashamed of you. I don't want God to be ashamed to be called my God. I've had association with several people of late that God is truly ashamed to be called their God. I talked with one by relay earlier this week. and out of a heart of pastor's love tried to say, as I listened to his rationales for not carrying his cross and dying to self and bearing his pride and walking the walk of faith, I said, man, you sound like you've already crossed over that invisible wall that Romans talks about, where those who know the Creator but worship the creature, and oh, how we love to find some limited group of humankind and apply that verse to them, when the most obvious application of the verse is those who worship the creation rather than the Creator, said creation being themselves. We got a generation of self-worshippers. They'll do anything to preserve their little old prissy self. They'll do anything to cover their little old nasty asteroid. They'll do anything to protect their silly little ego. They'll do anything to retreat into pride and self-worship. That's the most damnable worship of the creation that is known to mankind. And Scripture says, after those who know better, turn from the Creator and worship the creature. Self-worship. God will turn them over to a strong delusion, and they'll believe a lie and be damned. I'm sorry, folks. This is not a popular message, but we are called to die. We're called to take up a cross. If you were of the world would love his own. But you're not of the world because I've called you or chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. If any man will come after me and hate not himself, take up his cross and follow me. Can't even be my disciple. Can't even be a learner of me. You've got a choice, folks, and I'm asking you today. How you been making your decisions of late? You don't know whether or not you're one of those that obtain a good report in the courts of heaven, and whether or not you're one of those of whom God can say he's not ashamed to be called your God. Faith. This is faith in action. He did not decide against the promise of God by a pist. Forget unbelief and forget disbelief. Write the word in the Greek. Or say disfaith rather than unbelief. Because disfaith means you are not acting based upon a belief sustained by a confidence that God's word of promise is going to be carried out. Instead, you are acting on disfaith. Acting on circumstances, you are succumbing to that which gives no hope and defying God's word and making your decisions based on what you see instead of seizing the title deed of promise and acting in faith to make it your title deed. When God says something, he's going to do it in defiance of all circumstances, and that becomes your title deed of things hoped for, your working out in your experience and for the world to see and for you to see that which is not seen. And it all starts right here. He did not decide against the promise of God by disfaith, by contrary action. Oh, this double portion month. Oh, I'm going to watch the expressions of the people. All of a sudden, it's going to come close and start meddling now. The Word of God's going to get into your pocketbook, come close to home. We mentioned double portion month. You put God's house first, He looks out for you. You turn to God, He turns to you. You pick up the cross, you take His commission, you join in the wonder of the Apostle Paul of Ephesians 3, that we, the chiefest of sinners, could be chosen by God in this generation to take this wonderful gospel to the whole world. And God, who has angels that could do it, and an ability to hit the whole world with a resounding message with no help from mankind, gave the commission to us. Now, an opportunity to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and the knowledge that thousands of souls will rise up and say, "Blessed, because we were faithful." It's double portion month, and I got to make a decision. Now, how am I going to decide? Am I going to decide against the promise of God that when you give to Him, He'll pour out a blessing you cannot contain? That when you give hilariously, you can claim the promises of Psalm 112. How are you going to decide, friends? You're going to decide against the promise of God by disbelief, disfaith, failure to act based on the belief God said it, that forever settles it. I'm going to make it my portion, and I'm going to act in a way that gives me the title deed to the promise. I am going to evidence in my life by action starting today that which is not seen, namely my ability to do this. Am I going to decide against God's promise by this faith? Or am I going to be in a dunamothe, empowered by faith? The reason I want you to see the translation, it's in a dunamothe te pistai. The empowering follows the faith. We all want the empowering to faith. Let me say it again. Say it with me. I want to see mouths move. The empowering follows faith. Repeat after me. The empowering follows faith. Again. The empowering follows faith. Again. The empowering follows faith. Let's change the word to a cognate of the Greek. The endowment follows faith. The endowment follows faith. Now let's get closer to home. The endowment follows faith. Wouldn't you all like to have an endowment? I manage the endowment care fund of the mausoleum in Berkeley. Supposed to produce enough money to maintain the place. Wouldn't you like to have an endowment? That same word. Come on, say it after me. The endowment follows faith. The endowment follows faith. Faith is the title deed to the endowment. Say it with me. Faith is the title deed to the endowment. You aren't moving your lips. Come on. Faith is the title deed to the endowment. That's what I've been teaching. That's what the Word says. I got to see more lips move. Faith is the title deed to the endowment. Repeat after me. Faith is the title deed to the endowment. Everybody wants the endowment. Oh, man, could I fill a church of believers after God endowed them. That isn't the way it works. He did not decide against the promise of God by this faith, but was endowed, was dynamited, was empowered by faith. 2 Corinthians 4. Told you I was going to jump around. I'll tie it all together as we come to an end. This is one of those messages that I want you to walk out of here changed. Not just learning some new, delicious, not before seen nugget of truth from God's Word, but activated with the realization of how this Christian walk is to unfold. The walk of faith. Abraham was not going to decide against the promises of God, though circumstances defied it. He would not rest his case, determine his action, have his confidence shaken by the things that he saw around him. He would not decide against the promises of God because of disfaith. And I can't leave it yet till I hammer it home again. Disfaith is a lifestyle. Disfaith is a mode of action. Disfaith is acting based upon belief sustained by confidence in something other than God's word of promise. There's no neutral gear. You're going to make your decisions based upon having confidence in something other than God's promise that's influenced and affecting you, and you'll decide against God's promise by acting in that way. Or like Abraham, you will not decide against the promises of God in unbelief, but you will act in faith, and then God will empower you when the faith action is moving. But the test will always be there. Look at Paul. Go back to the first verse of the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We faint not. But if our gospel, verse 3, be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. How terrible to be in the sound of my voice today and be in that category instead of those that gain a good report and of whom God is not ashamed to be called their God, to be them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Circle those words, believe not. And again, correct the King James. It's apistone. That same word for faith, apistone. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that faith not. Decide against the promises, acting on other things, which is defined as apistis. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, or the ones apistone, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For God, who, verse 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts 18 years, folks. The light they shine to open the Scripture to you, to your calling, to your destiny, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power may be of God and not of us. Hear me closely. Not. Satan's trick, when he can't do anything else, will be to attack you because of the times you've struggled or stumbled. Abraham had all of his past stumblings wiped out because his last act was to decide not against the promises of God in disfaith, but to be empowered by faith. We do have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's why I felt I needed to draw aside and seek the Lord. There are many that have stumbled along the way. But don't faint. Don't let the God of this world blind you. Blind the minds until it becomes the permanent condition of disfaith. But let the circumstances drive you to more faith. Verse 8, we're troubled on every side. The Greek has it, in every way being afflicted. King James says, yet not distressed. I like the Greek better because we do get distressed. The Greek has it, and I hope you'll correct your Bible, the 8th verse, 2 Corinthians 4. In every way being afflicted, but not being restrained. We're not going to let it restrain us. Being in difficulties is a better translation than we are perplexed. Being in difficulties, but not despairing. Come on, you faith soldiers over these years, as we start another year on satellite. My message is still the same. It's been the same for 18 years. Now faith is the substance, hypostasis of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, by that action, we obtain a good report. We return again today to the herald truth that I came proclaiming. We're going to make our decisions, not against the promises of God in this faith, but being empowered, endued, endowed, and dynamited by faith. We've seen the light. We're not going to let the God of this world darken our minds in perpetual and continual disfaith. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, this light that is shown, this knowledge of what faith can accomplish. And take the literal, we are in every way being afflicted, but not being restrained. Being in difficulties, but not despairing. Verse 9, I'm going to give you the literal. Being persecuted, but glory to God, not being deserted. Being cast down, but not perishing. Always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus. In order that also the life of Jesus in the body of us might be manifested. I had somebody say to me as recent as this week, well, the desire's left. The fire's out. I can't cut it. I don't want to do it anymore. Making his decision against the promises of God in disfaith. Letting the God of this world darken his mind in disfaith. How many are guilty in the sound of my voice? Oh, it's just been too hard. I just got out of doing this and sacrificing out double portion month. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I asked this person, anybody nailed his hands to a tree recently? Any crown of thorns on his head recently? Do you have any idea what a sick, self-centered baby society we're trying to preach the gospel to in this last days, rebellious, me first, yuppie age? The message is still the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. Foolishness to them that perish. But unto us which are saved, it is the dunamis, power of God. I come this Sunday preaching on this anniversary of our message going to the world by satellite. The same message I came to town preaching. The cross of Jesus Christ. A place to die to self. A place to decide against the claims of this world. A place to say no to that tendency to decide against the promises of God and instead determine to make our decisions in faith, acting on the belief sustained by the confidence that God, as He said in His words, will carry it out, hasten it, as He said to Jeremiah to perform it. Sure, we're troubled on every side, afflicted, but not being restrained. Being in difficulties, but not despairing. Being persecuted, but not being deserted. Being cast down, but not perishing. Ready to die every day. The dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for, listen to it folks, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Let me give you the Greek. Worketh excessively to excess. That's the Greek. Worketh excessively to excess. An eternal weight of glory. For us. While we look not at the things which are seen, those other circumstances that the God of this world uses to blind us, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Where's your focus today, folks? Very simple message. What guides your decisions? I need a people I came seeking 18 years ago, not even dreaming God's master plan. I came to town saying, God, give me some people. Uncommon ones whose heart God has touched, that will look on the things not seen with the breath of eternity on them. Who will act in faith to write new chapters to that 11th chapter of Hebrews. Men and women who will not decide against the promises of God in disfaith. Who will be empowered by faith. There's only one thing that will regenerate this entire congregation. That's a fresh baptism in faith. That is the catalyst that brings forth God's endowment, God's endowment, God's endynamiting. Do you realize this month of double portioning can be that opportunity of faith that can re-endow this congregation with the life of God's Spirit? Keep us from fainting, for which cause we faint not. Go on to the 5th chapter, 14th verse, 2 Corinthians. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. If he died for us, then we're all dead. Quit resurrecting that old ego. Quit resurrecting that old self-seeking self. Quit resurrecting that old self that's still in love with the things of this world and the cares and the deceitfulness of it. We died, and that one died for all. We died with him, and that old man needs to die daily, that the claims of this world loose their hold. And we start deciding not against the promises of God in disfaith, with mind darkened by the god of this world, but are endued, endowed, and dynamited by faith. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth. Here it is, this first Sunday of July, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You have the opportunity across this damnable, hypocritical, self-serving, disguised religiosity of the Christian world. We have the opportunity to run the flag high and make the declaration that God has not changed. He still will give a good report of those that act in faith. Though we have this treasure in earthen vessels, pressed down, persecuted, we faint not. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge we are dead men, set free and enlivened anew. As I've oft quoted that voice of communism, Lenin used to say the communists were dead men on furlough. We're dead men dead. Died with Christ, we have no right to pull back from his claim. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again to claim us and to lead us. We stand at the threshold of a new beginning. Will you make your decisions today against the promises of God in disfaith? Or will you, by faith, be empowered? Your first step is to take that step of double portioning. Christ died for those that we reach. Can we double portion this month for those that we reach? Go to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Last chapter of the 1 Corinthian letter. Having asked the question, I believe the congregation in whom the seed of the word has been planted these many years will respond to this, my closing call. With Paul, I say it to you, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 16, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, stand fast in the peace tie, quit you like men, literally, andre zesty. Play the man. Play the man. Be strong. I asked what I asked when I came here. God, give me uncommon men and women against whose minds the god of this world will not prevail. Men and women of good report, of whom God is not ashamed to be called their God, who will once again not decide against the promises of God in disfaith, but will be empowered by faith. Can I count on you? Can I count on you? It's offering time. I ask you not to take this message lightly. It was not delivered lightly. A call to double portion on this anniversary that we celebrate many years ago changed this ministry and launched it worldwide out of our darkest hour of circumstance. 1994, I ask you to do it again for 1 month. Walk in faith in every dimension of your life. Start it with this offering and with your determination to be one of those who double portion this month of July as we start another year on satellite. The song as the offering takes place is, you've got to have faith. I leave you with these words again. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Good day.